pelvic pain is a common problem, which can be the signal of a more serious issue. It also presents a major challenge to both the patients and to their healthcare providers. Well, joining us this morning to help us understand this complex yet common problem is Dr. Myron Luthringer, Director of Gynecologic Robotic Surgery at Upstate University Hospital. Welcome, Dr. Luthringer. Thanks for coming in today. So tell us about pelvic pain in women.
First off, pelvic pain is, we'd like to determine where is it, and it's really from below the belly button and between the hips. We can say that it's defined two ways: acute, meaning sudden onset, short duration, or chronic, meaning over a long period of time, can be recurrent, intermittent, and the etiologies or the causes of these two, acute versus chronic, you know, can vary. So sometimes the acute, you know, that may signify you need some direct medical attention now because it could be a serious condition, such as appendicitis. As far as gynecology, that can be, you know, a ruptured cyst or torsion of an ovary, or an ectopic pregnancy if the pregnancy is positive also. So those things could be an acute emergency and, you know, require medical attention right at that time.
That's why it's really important, I would think. That
it would be. It would be.
If you notice something suddenly happening to you, that you really get some help.
And lots of times those symptoms are much more severe than the chronic type of pelvic pain that, you know, you patients have been dealing with over a long period of time. And they've almost come to expect that sometimes on a cyclical basis, a monthly basis, or with different activities they're doing, you know, it can elicit some of these pains and discomforts.
Now, I mean, I think a common, in my experience, a common cause of what I think of as pelvic pain in women, or in myself, you know, was during menstruation. Very often you have that kind of cramping or chronic pain, but as you said, when it's cyclical, but there's many other things that can cause it.
Right. Well, one of the term you're discussing there is called dysmenorrhea or painful periods, and it's very common. It usually is limited to about a day or two a month during the onset of the menstrual cycle. And we actually understand that that's probably caused by production of a chemical called prostaglandin. And this chemical is produced within the uterus and within the pelvic area itself, and this is the same chemical we believe actually starts labor. So if you think of it that way, you're having this chemical and now you're having contractions or cramping of the uterus, and that's giving those symptoms.
And there are some other, are there other things in the reproductive system that can cause that kind of chronic pelvic pain?
Well, there are infection. Pelvic inflammatory disease is something that can be both acute at the onset, but some patients have a chronic pelvic infection, whether that's because it's not treated or because of scarring after pelvic infection. Endometriosis is very common, and that's really generally a premenopausal symptom and disease where the lining of the uterus is actually outside the uterus. It can be inside the abdomen. There's common areas for that. It can be behind the uterus, on the ovaries, affecting the bowel, the rectum, and the bladder. And sometimes that can cause extreme scarring. But those symptoms can also be cyclical because when the lining is outside the uterus, it is still undergoing these changes just like a menstrual cycle. So these areas break down. They can cause bleeding, small areas of bleeding internally, leading to the pain and the scarring over long term.
So it sounds like there are a lot of things potentially contributing to this kind of chronic pelvic pain. Clearly, that must make it very difficult to diagnose, right?
It is. I mean, one of the other real common causes is fibroids, which are called fibroid tumors. I don't care for the word tumor because we always think about cancer, but these are benign growths of the connective tissue and the muscle of the uterus, and sometimes most fibroids don't cause any pain or symptoms, and they're extremely common. But there are some that, depending on their location and their size, can cause significant discomfort as far as bleeding throughout the month or long-term hemorrhage, and also causing pressure on other organs, whether that be the bowel, the bladder, and sometimes the blood vessels that are in the pelvic area.
How about things like irritable bowel syndrome? Does that play a role?
It can. When we, as a gynecologist, when we patient comes in and complaining of symptoms of chronic pelvic pain, we always think, okay, what's in the pelvic area? So that's where I start. So you have the GYN organs, the uterus, the ovaries, fallopian tubes, and also the bladder, and also the bowel. And some of the muscular structures also play a role in pelvic pain.
So it can be any of those things.
It can. And many times it's very difficult to determine. Some studies have shown that over 50% of patients with chronic pelvic pain actually never get a diagnosis.
Wow.
And that may be just limited to treating the symptoms.
That's very interesting. Also, there's been a talk, I guess, in some of the things I've read, they talk about the need for a multidisciplinary team because there may be some psychological issues. I guess I read some statistic that a lot of some causes of chronic pelvic pain may be sexual abuse or something
right.
of that nature.
Exactly. Up to 50% of patients with chronic pelvic pain have some sort of depression, and along with that goes with a decreased activity level because of the depression. And that kind of snowballs, and you're not feeling well, you're depressed, you have this chronic pain, and it's very difficult to break that cycle. So sometimes psychological counseling can help and maybe determine the underlying cause separate from the pelvic pain that could be causing the depression.
Well, hold that thought because we're going to need to take a quick break here, and then we'll come back and we'll talk a lot more about not only the causes but the treatment for this difficult disease. So please stay right there. I'm Linda Cohen. This is HealthLink on Air FM News Radio 106.9 and 570 WSYR. Back to HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen, along with my guest, Dr. Myron Luthringer, Director of Gynecologic Robotic Surgery at Upstate University Hospital. And we've been talking about female pelvic pain. And before the break, we were talking about some of the variety of causes. And we touched very lightly on this issue of sexual abuse. And during the break, you mentioned that quite a high percentage
up to 50% of patients with chronic pelvic pain have been shown to have some form of either physical or sexual abuse in the past. So that always has to be something we have to be aware of, you know, as physicians and healthcare providers, to say, is there some underlying, you know, issue here that we really need to address?
Mm-hmm. And then are there other causes, urinary tract causes, all
right,
kinds of other
right.
causes?
Urinary tract, you know, as far as some patients can have chronic low-lying bladder infections, stone disease can also cause...
Is that kidney stones?
Kidney stones. Lots of times that can be an acute, but sometimes the stones can... It can be a chronic intermittent condition. Sometimes the stones actually end up in the bladder and can cause pain down in the pelvic area also.
Wow, this is really, really complex in terms
right.
of all the different things that could be causing it.
And one of the key things with the urinary tract infection is a condition called IC, or interstitial cystitis, which is really an inflammation of the lining of the bladder. We really don't have a great handle on the exact cause from that, but it's very high along causes for chronic pelvic pain, and many times that's a diagnosis that is the last diagnosis we made, almost a diagnosis of exclusion. And eventually, when you mentioned about having a multiple physician or health care provider workup, a urologist sometimes can make this diagnosis by placing a scope into the bladder and seeing this inflammation and then having medical treatment help along those lines too.
Are there also musculoskeletal things? I would think, for example, as you age, things change, move around, you go through, in the case, you go through menopause. I mean, do those things play a role?
Yes, especially as far as many patients have lower back pain, and that can have radiating pain into the pelvic area. So if patients have disc disease, herniated disc, those that can also manifest as pelvic pain. There are various muscle groups within the pelvis also. Sometimes you can have a pelvis that's out of alignment. You can have trigger points, which can be extremely debilitating And then, it, as you mentioned, as we're all aging, everything seems to go south.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do see what we call pelvic organ prolapse. And that is actually the supporting structure that the pelvic organs relax or sometimes are actually torn during different activities such as childbirth. So as we get older, these organs can start to prolapse or herniate, and that includes the bladder, the rectum, or the uterus itself. And then one condition is a vaginal vault prolapse, and this can occur after patients had a hysterectomy. The vaginal canal can actually prolapse out through the opening.
So it sounds like there are just countless potential causes for this. And well, let me just back up for a minute. For chronic pelvic pain, what characterizes the symptoms? I mean, is it obviously with acute, you would have some kind of sharp, maybe intense pain, but with the chronic pelvic pain, what are some of the symptoms like?
Well, first off, where do we start? And that starts with a good history from the patient, mm-hmm. and then a physical exam, a pelvic exam, to really determine the as far as the pain, is it something, does it have a pattern? So chronic pelvic pain generally can be, it's a wide spectrum. It can be sharp, dull. It can be constant. It can be intermittent. Some not very nonspecific feelings, pressure, bloating, backache. And then sometimes it's related to activity, sitting down, going to the bathroom, either voiding or having a bowel movement. So, and sometimes during sex. So these are all some of the symptoms. There's nothing specific you can say, you know, how do you describe pelvic pain? It's a huge continuum of symptoms.
That simply underscores again what I said in the beginning, how it's so difficult to diagnose. So how do you begin? You said with a good history.
Good history, a physical exam, a pelvic exam to try and rule out any of the anatomic causes. That could be, first off, is there a prolapse of the pelvic organs? Is there ovarian cysts? Some patients are very common to chronic ovarian cysts, and these can cause pain. Is there any type of infection that could be seen and treated with antibiotics? And also very common are the fibroids. And so as far as the gynecologic workup, that's where we're at. From that point then, if...
Do they do blood and urine tests as well, besides the physical exam?
Yes. So sometimes we want to make sure there aren't other conditions such as anemia, if they've been bleeding, signs of infection would show up in some blood work. And then there's other diagnostic tests. As far as GYN goes, a pelvic ultrasound is probably one of the first things we would do. And that is really just sound waves to look at the structures within the pelvis, looking at the ovaries, the uterus. Sometimes we can see things in the bladder, or is there any mass in the pelvic area? And then the more involved procedures. Laparoscopy is an operative procedure, minimally invasively done, where a scope is actually put into the abdomen to view the organs from the outside. In addition, if there's other physicians involved, a urologist may want to do that cystoscopy, put that scope in the bladder to look for stones or that interstitial cystitis. And also if we're looking at bowel-related symptoms, sometimes a colonoscopy by the GI specialist.
So it really can be very extensive in terms of the testing. And then how about with the psychosocial or the emotional issues that we talked about? How do you examine those or evaluate those?
Well, that starts with getting to know your patient and understanding how comfortable they are and to talk about it. A lot of patients have certain things in the past and they don't want to bring those up. And so you have to have that fine line between prying and what they will offer.
Share with
sometimes you.
You
have some ideas and some suspicions, and sometimes as far as saying, you know, maybe we should talk about having some counseling and starting at that, not throwing it at the patient, but offering it to the patient.
So in your experience, you said, excuse me, that 50% by the statistics have had some kind of sexual abuse.
Or physical abuse.
Mm-hmm. In your practice, how do you begin to deal with that? I mean, do you do your full-scale workup first to determine?
We do, and as I said, sometimes the causes are multifactorial, so they may have certain things going on, and then you may just touch on, you know, well, yes, this happened at a younger age and these things, you know, did happen. And a lot of patients are very open about it and have already undergone counseling and are very aware of it. So it's one of those things. Those were the studies do show that. It seemed like a high number when I was reading that also. But it's something just to make sure you're aware of and, you know,
that you address it on some
exactly,
level.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
So overall, then, clearly the treatment has to follow the cause. But since the causes could be multifactorial and somewhat murky even, mm-hmm. how do you determine treatment? What do you do?
Well, if we can come up with a specific cause, if it's infection, antibiotic therapy usually. If it's that very common, that dysmenorrhea, pelvic pain during our period, when I mentioned about the prostaglandin chemical being there, blocking the pathway of that chemical being formed is a relatively simple thing. And that's where the non-steroidal medications come in, the ibuprofens, the Aleves. And that blocks that pathway so that chemical is in a lower concentration, and that really helps the symptomatology. In addition, for some of the patients that have extremely painful periods, there is a procedure that's minimally invasively done called endometrial ablation, where we actually destroy or cauterize the lining of the uterus, and that allows many patients to have a much shorter, lighter menstrual cycle, and that's also related and correlated with much less pain during that time. So there are certain things, you know, that we can do for the specific treatments. If it's endometriosis, when that lining of the uterus is inside the abdomen, we can treat that. Sometimes just pain-wise with the non-steroidals or even narcotics if the pain's that severe. And then treating the endometriosis itself, keeping the implants under check so they don't grow. Oral contraceptives works very well along those lines. And then sometimes you have to revert to surgery if it's extensive and actually go in there and resect the endometriosis. If we look further at the fibroids, as I said, most fibroids may not need to be treated, and symptoms can be handled just with medication. But sometimes surgery is involved, and we can go in and either remove the fibroids, or if they're too large or too numerous, actually remove the uterus with the fibroids, and that's the definitive treatment along there. And lastly, as far as the pelvic organ prolapse, many times we can fix those hernias surgically or do the suspension if the uterus is prolapsed.
Well, it sounds like there are so many potential causes, and it's a puzzle that you have to figure out, but it also sounds like you've got lots of things in your armamentarium to treat this disease and this problem. So that's kind of hopeful, and I appreciate your coming in and sharing all this very important information with us. My guest has been Dr. Myron Lutheringer, Director of Gynecologic Robotic Surgery at Upstate University Hospital, and we have to take a short break now. But we'll be right back, so please stay right there. I'm Linda Cohen. This is HealthLink on Air, FM News Radio 106.9 and 570 WSYR.